Let me start today with a question. Who is the last person you've had a conversation with? Is it someone you saw when you arrived today at church? Maybe it was a family member on the car ride here. Someone you know well? More than likely, it's someone you've met before, right? You know how to speak for them. You know what kind of things you talk about. You know how they speak and they know how you speak. With certain people, it's easier to have a conversation. Maybe with other people, less so. You know, I had a lot less to say to my parents when I was in high school. How was your day? Good. What did you get up to today? Nothing much. Have you finished your homework? Soon. I hope that your conversations are a little bit more rich and weighty than mine were. Which brings me to another question. Can you think of someone you have very long conversations with? Conversations even longer than 10 minutes. Who's the last person you had a long conversation with? Why am I asking all these questions? Well, I think we learn a lot from the people we talk to and the things we talk about, right? Our words are a reflection of how we are, who we are, what we're thinking about, and depending on who we're with, we can speak quite differently. Which leads me to maybe the most important question I'd like to ask. When was the last time you talked with God? Not just asked for something or said some words. Talked. A conversation with God. Let me pray. Lord, speak to us today. Let us be ready and willing to hear your word. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. As you ponder this question, let's step back into Scripture, into the Word of God, back into the Old Testament, and into the book of 1 Samuel. That's right, you are hearing that right. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Where are we? Well, we're with the nation of Israel. And with Israel, you know some of the story already. There are ups and there are downs. Where are we in Israel's history? Well, we've gone past the Exodus, where God rescues his people through his servant Moses out of slavery in Egypt, but then into 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. We go past the wandering into the story of Joshua, where he brings the people into the promised land under God's command. But then, after settling into the promised land, trouble and trial, Israel is facing the same problem they've always faced. They refuse to trust and follow God. In the book of Judges, what we see is a constant cycle. The people suffer because of their own disobedience. But God continues to be merciful, raising up judges to rescue his people. These judges, however, were far from faithful and perfect leaders. Indeed, the book of Judges ends with this statement. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. It's into such a world that the book of 1 Samuel begins. It's into such a world that God is still working, working to bring light into darkness. And God would do it through a prophet named Samuel. We read from chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. The first few chapters of 1 Samuel is two key stories. One, it's the beginning of Samuel's story. Samuel is God's answer to prayer. The answer to prayer of one of his faithful servants, Hannah. In her barrenness, her inability to have children, she cries out to God for help. And when God answers her prayers and gives her Samuel, she dedicates Samuel to serve God so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. And so Samuel, from a young age, grows up ministering and serving at the house of the Lord in Shiloh, under the priest of Israel at the time, Eli. Eli is the focus of the second story at the beginning of 1 Samuel. Because if the first story is the beginning of Samuel's story, the second story is the end of Eli's story. In chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, "Behold, the days are coming when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house." God pronounces judgment on Eli and his house. Why? Because Eli had squandered something very, very precious. Indeed, Eli had been chosen as priest and judge over God's people, chosen to lead them. This was his sacred responsibility, and he had wasted it. In particular, Eli's sin was not found in something particular that he did, but rather something he didn't do. In chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, we are introduced to Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. The scripture describes them as worthless and wicked. And we quickly discover why. They disgrace the offering of God by taking the choicest cuts of the offerings and eating it for themselves. And they disgrace the house of God by laying with the women who are serving at the entrance. What was Eli's sin? Well, Eli made a choice, the wrong choice. Eli, knowing all the things that were happening, went and rebuked his sons, tried to correct them with words, but they wouldn't listen. And so Eli made a choice. He chose not to do anything more. He allowed sin to fester and decay and continue in the house of God. Sin and corruption continued, and Israel felt its consequences. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. Eli was a reflection of Israel. Eli, who chosen sin, could no longer see the light, both spiritually and physically. And as his vision grew dimmer and dimmer, so did Israel's vision. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And their vision of God grew dimmer and dimmer, led by a priest and a judge who was literally going blind. It was the blind leading the blind. Truly a dark time for Israel. Yet in the darkness, God was bringing light. A flicker, light in the darkness. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. God was preparing something in the darkness. For Eli, blind old Eli, the word, the Lord had no more words to give. But to Samuel, God was now speaking. Even though the word of the Lord was rare, fading, disappearing in that time, God had chosen Samuel. Israel would hear God's word again, whether they wanted to or not. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, Here I am, and ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. It was very late at night. We know this because the lamp of God in the temple was lit in the evening and lasted until the morning. Samuel was sleeping in the middle of the temple when he heard someone calling to him. Well, who would be calling him this late other than Eli? So Samuel calls out, Here I am, and races to Eli's side. Here I am, for you called me. Even in the middle of the night, Samuel jumps to attention. How might you react if someone woke you up in the dead of the night while you were trying to get some sleep? Can't imagine doing much more than trying to put a pillow over my ears. But Samuel is like a sprinter on the blocks. As soon as he hears the voice, he shoots off to Eli's side and announces his arrival. I can only imagine how Eli might have been. Groggy, half asleep. Old Eli with his fading eyes. Older and fatter by the day. In contrast to a sharp young Samuel. I didn't call you. Go lie down and get some sleep. Under Eli's command, Samuel returns back to rest. Samuel! And the Lord called again, Samuel! And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Once again, the same call. Someone's calling him by name. Samuel! Samuel! Now Samuel's really confused now. Samuel rises again and goes to Eli's side. Here I am, for you called me. But Eli responds in the same way. I did not call, my son. Lie down again. What's going on? Well, we see the problem in verse 7. Samuel could hear a voice, but he didn't know who it was because he did not yet know the Lord. Can you imagine? In such a dark time where the word of the Lord was so rare, who could still hear the Lord and recognize his voice? Who could hear him? Who could see him? Who could speak to him? Who could have a conversation with him? Certainly not old Eli, whose vision was fading. The Lord wasn't speaking directly to him. Instead, it was another. It was Samuel. Samuel, who the Lord had chosen to hear his voice. Through Samuel, Israel would hear once again. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Even with Eli's fading vision, he could see something was going on. It's this third time that Samuel appears, that Eli finally realizes this is the Lord speaking. And so he tells Samuel, "Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. You know, there's a tragedy here. For the priest of Israel, Eli, God had no more words. His time had passed. Eli had made his choice. Eli had dishonored God. His ability to see and to hear were fading. God was now speaking to Samuel. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli, and that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." We recall that the beginning of 1 Samuel is two stories. One, it's the beginning of Samuel's story. It's the story that we're familiar with. God is speaking again to Samuel, to Israel. In darkness, God is bringing light. In their deafness, God is raising a prophet so they can hear again. God is watching Samuel and God is watching Israel. Finally, unfaithful Israel would hear what God had to say. But it's also a second story. The second story is the story of judgment upon Eli and his household, because God was watching the whole time. And he saw all the transgressions, all the iniquity, all the sin of Eli and the consequences on all of Israel. "And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Eli could not escape the judgment of God. Even as his eyes grew dim and his heart for God grew weak, God would show him this. Eli, who had chosen his sons over God, would face judgment. The one who had wasted his sacred responsibility. God had been watching. God had been listening. This was God's response. Two stories. Joy and judgment. Joy that God was bringing light into the darkness. Israel would see once again. On the other side, judgment for those who were unwilling to listen to God the entire time. Samuel and Eli, two stories. Eli's final response to Samuel is dull and weary. "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. As Samuel grew, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. What a relationship Samuel has with God. None of Samuel's words fell to the ground because God kept them up. God was by his side. God was in his words. Could you ever have a relationship like that with God? All of Israel knew that Samuel was a prophet of the Lord, that the Lord was speaking again. The age of silence was over, where the word of the Lord was so rare. All of that was coming to an end, and God was speaking again. And it's at this point I want to ask you this question. The question I asked you at the beginning. When is the last time you talked with God? Where you spoke and he responded. A true, real, genuine conversation with God. How long did Israel have to wait? Wait for God's word to reappear. Waiting, waiting to finally, joyously be able to speak to him again. When's the last time you had a conversation with God? The chapter we've read so far is a story about a conversation. It's a conversation between Samuel and God. But it's also a story about a missing conversation. It's a story about a conversation that doesn't happen between Eli and God. You know, at the start of this chapter, Samuel was yet to know the Lord. He wasn't the prophet or judge that he would become. He wasn't the great man of God that Israel would end up seeing him as. He was just a boy, but he was a boy that was ready. Here I am. Samuel was ready to hear. He was ready to listen, ready to receive, ready to hear the word of God. He was ready for God to speak. He was ready to have a conversation with God. Here I am. Even when he didn't know the one who was calling, he was ready. Here I am. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Samuel was ready to talk with God. It's Samuel who is ready and Eli who isn't ready. Eli, the priest, the judge, the one that God had placed to care for Israel's spiritual health, the one to share God's word with his people, Eli could no longer see. He could no longer hear because he'd long stopped listening. The moment he'd allowed sin to continue in the house of God, the moment he made that choice, and even if it was the sins of his own sons, he had dishonored God. But why didn't God speak directly to Eli like he did with Samuel? Why? Wouldn't it all have been solved if God called out to Eli the same way he called out to Samuel? Well, the answer is simple. Eli had given all the evidence that he wasn't interested in listening anymore. You see, God was speaking. God was speaking the whole time. God was speaking when Eli was rebuking his sons. God was speaking when Eli made the decision that he would let sin continue in the house of God. Do you think that Eli didn't know the weight of his sin against God? Do you think that Eli didn't know the weight of his actions, of the sin that was continuing? Oh, he knew. God was telling him the entire time. Eli knew what God wanted. He just chose to walk a different way. God's word was the same, had been the same the entire time to Eli. Why do you scorn my sacrifices? Why do you honor your sons over me? Why do you let sin continue in my house? God had been speaking. Eli had learned to stop listening. He grew comfortable. Comfortable with the sins of his sons. Comfortable with sin against God. So comfortable that he could never be ready to hear God speak. This is the difference between Eli and Samuel. It's not the youth that's the difference. No, it's the heart that's the difference. A heart which was ready and willing to hear against a heart that wasn't really interested in hearing at all. Here I am. God was speaking to Samuel. And Samuel was ready to listen, compared with Eli, who wasn't interested in listening anymore. Eli stopped changing, stopped seeking, stopped seeing God's words. And God's presence and God's voice, they all disappeared from him. Well, we're sure glad we aren't like Eli, right? When's the last time you talked with God? Had a real, genuine conversation where you spoke, he spoke back, where you were ready to hear all the things he has to say to you, ready to deal with all those sins that are within, ready to listen to all the uncomfortable things that God might be telling you. Are we like Samuel, or are we like Eli? We like to think of ourselves like Samuel. I think we're much more like Eli. We know certain things are right or wrong, but we do them so often that we start to stop caring. We stop seeking after God's voice, stop responding, stop fighting, stop seeing, stop listening. You know, sometimes we seek after God. We plead, God, speak to us directly. We wait for a voice out of thin air, to convince us, to tell us what to do, to speak to us directly. And when we don't hear it, we blame God for being silent. We tell God exactly when and where and why and how to speak to us. We never think that maybe, just maybe, God is speaking. That he is speaking the entire time. And the problem isn't him. The problem is us. We're the ones who aren't listening. God is speaking, but he might just be speaking in a way and about something that we don't really want to hear. Just how does God speak? In verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, we find that the Lord came and stood and called out to Samuel. And you might be wondering, maybe I need to be special like Samuel for God to speak to me like this. Because God wouldn't just speak like this to anyone, right? Samuel was special. That's why God called out to him like this. How I wish God would just come down and speak to me like he did with Samuel. Well, God says to us, let me do you one better. We read from the Gospel of John. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Forget God calling out to us from a distance. Forget God showing us a vision or a dream. The true light was coming into the world. You want God to speak to you like he did with Samuel? How about God becomes a man and the light of the world in human form walks beside us and speaks to us directly? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Samuel's time, the Word of the Lord was rare. No one could hear God's Word. No one could hear his voice. Israel needed Samuel, the one who was ready to hear, ready to listen, ready to share God's Word with Israel. It was the joy of Israel to finally hear his Word again. And then God says, that isn't enough. Let me send my Son, my only Son, the Word of God become flesh, to dwell among you so that you can see my glory directly. You can hear my voice directly so that you no longer need a prophet or priest to tell you my word. You can see my word. The Word of God becomes flesh and walks among us. How do we react to that? the light of the world, which has overcome the darkness. How do we respond to that? Do we look up, or do we just keep on walking? Are we like Samuel, or are we like Eli? Is God speaking to us? He most certainly is. Do we have ears to listen to him? We read in Hebrews 1, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. God is speaking. He is always speaking. He is never silent. Through his Son Jesus, he has said all that he needs to say, which is why I keep asking this question. When is the last time you talked with God, had a conversation with him? Is God someone who can't hear you and you can't hear him? Is speaking to God like speaking to thin air, into nothing? Are you waiting for a voice to appear that never seems to appear, a response that never seems to arrive? God is speaking, but he's speaking in a way that's even better than what Samuel received. Samuel hears a voice. We see the word of God in the flesh, in all his glory, when Jesus came and stood by our side. He walked with us. He spoke to us. He went to the cross for us. He died for us, and he rose from the grave for us. Through him, God's Spirit is with us forever, speaking always. We saw him, we heard him, we knew him, and we get to be with him forever. He has made our bodies temples for the Spirit to dwell in forever. Is God silent? No, God is always speaking. What we see in Samuel and Eli is the difference between one who is willing to hear and one who isn't. Are we like Samuel, or are we like Eli? How do you respond when God speaks to you? How do you respond when the word of God becomes flesh, dwells among us, and dies to save us? As we open up the Bible, as we open up Scripture, the word of God, what do we see? We see God is speaking. And how has God chosen to speak? Scripture isn't a rule book or an instruction manual teaching us how we earn our way to God, how we earn our way into his presence, so that we can finally hear him, finally speak to him. No, Scripture is the revelation, the realization, the revealing that we can't earn our way into his presence, into a conversation. No, he's the one who's come down to speak to us. And he's done it through Jesus. He's done it through his Son. The Word become flesh. Jesus is the reason why we open up the Bible and read Scripture. It's to discover him. It's to discover Jesus in every page, every word, every moment. That this is how God has chosen to speak to us, speaking to us through his word, speaking to us through his Son. This is how we get to know our God. This is how we get to know our Lord Jesus, get to hear him, get to love him. If God is always speaking, how do we respond? Here I am. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. Would you be willing to say those words from your heart? How might God change your life if you said these words? Are you ready to discover what God is saying to you, if only you were ready to listen? Here I am, Lord. These were some of the words that I prayed when I visited my family in China recently. My extended family are all basically non-Christians, and I was going into a place and a culture and a world that didn't really know who Jesus was. A dark place, a place that didn't know God's word. Yet, for all the things that I was lacking, God was so willing to provide, and he was so willing to speak. I asked these words, and God provided the conversations, the opportunities, so many things that I learned and so many conversations that I had. Relatives, family members that I'd never shared the gospel to. Where did it come from? Maybe I'm just really good at this. Or maybe it was God who was speaking the whole time, teaching, guiding me over years and years, teaching me his word, his truth, his life. And finally, I was ready to share it. As long as I was willing to listen, as long as I was willing to hear what he had to say to me. How much would God challenge you if you were ready and willing to listen to him? How much he would change you, transform you, if you said these words from your heart, "Here I am, Lord, speak." Are you willing to take the risk of seeking after God and listening to how he actually responds? The risk of actually seeing what Jesus has done for you and how much he is saying to you. Are you willing to take the risk of realizing that God has always been speaking to you, each and every one of you? It's on us to be ready. Here I am. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. When is the last time you had a conversation with God? Then you talked of God. He is speaking. He is always speaking. He is never silent. We need to be ready. Ready to hear, ready to trust, ready to respond, ready to act, ready to change, ready to hear his word, ready to discover his word, ready to see all that he has to tell us, ready to see his son given for us, ready each and every day through all of the distractions, through all of the treasures that we're building here on earth. Every day, every moment, God is speaking. You can be sure about that. It's about us. Are we willing to listen? In every thought, every conversation, every small, uncomfortable choice that we don't want to make, every moment in life, if you're ready, pray those words. Here I am, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. This is a prayer that you can pray anytime, any place. I'm ready. I'm ready to listen, ready to hear, ready to discover, Lord, just how much you have done and you are doing and you will do in my life. Let's pray to close. Lord, we thank you for the precious reality that the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us, that Jesus, your one and only precious Son, has come and has given his life for us. He's walked with us and he's died for us. Are we willing to listen to him? Are we willing to follow him? Give us a heart like Samuel, ready to listen to you, ready for you to change us, because we know you are speaking, Lord. You have spoken, you are speaking, and you will always be speaking. In Jesus' precious name.